Nick Thomas, Chief Digital Officer from Holland and Barrett. You and I have known each other for a good many years. Thank you for joining us for this podcast and conversation about your experience as CDO at Holland and Barrett over the last 3 or 4 months as we step forward and through the lockdown. Nick, first of all, tell us a little bit about how things have been at Holland and Barrett the last 3 months.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ruth. It's good to speak to you. The last few months have been crazy, as it has been for many people. We saw a huge uplift in demand as soon as we went into lockdown. We carried a lot of momentum into that period anyway, and that momentum just turned into skyrocketing demand. We had over 800% demand year on year at peaks during that initial phase. So, you know, a lot of our challenges became around managing the supply side of that increased demand.
And Holland and Barrett is a destination for a lot of different products, and I know you have a remit beyond the UK, but what have people been buying at Holland and Barrett during the lockdown and through the pandemic? And any interesting product lines or SKUs that perhaps were a surprise or that have really fueled that growth?
Yeah, we saw an immediate increase in things like aloe vera gel right off the bat. You know, people were combining the product with alcohol, presumably to make their own hand sanitizer gel. You know, we also saw big increases in anything long life, surges in our alternative milk product ranges like almond and oat milks, and customers were stockpiling things like dried fruit nuts. So our food offer really, really took off. We also saw a huge surge in baking, you know, the extra time at home with the kids. But, you know, the variety of flours that we offer really took off. I mean, we really benefited when the supermarket struggled with stock in those lines. We obviously saw big increases in the immunity focused lines. So, you know, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, echinacea, our honeys products. Some of those lines were 3,000% up year on year as customers became more and more concerned with looking after their health. And we were in a really, really good position to support this time.
I for one have put on weight over the last 4 months. I've worked bloody hard to run regularly, but I probably had a few more drinks in the evenings than I would have normally. Do we now see things like weight management as a category become more prescient, more of interest to your customers, or not?
I don't think we've noticed that actually. I think that is an interesting category to keep an eye on as we come out of lockdown. I think I'm the same as you, not benefiting from kind of being stationary a lot. Maybe could have made a bit more of that half an hour outside the house than I have done. But it's been really in our food lines and healthy food. I think people are more and more conscious of living healthier lives, and that's a range of things from the supplements that we offer, but also just the nature of their diet rather than weight management. So yeah, that hasn't been one of the things that we've seen stick out.
You've as a business, you've clearly got a strong online presence. You joined as Chief Digital Officer about a year or so ago, and I'm sure much of your brief was about transformation in this omnichannel world. This isn't new to you or I, but Holland and Barrett has, I think, about 1,300 stores, perhaps less now. But there must have been some serious challenges with the obvious reduction in activity in store. What did you do, if anything, to to try and serve customers everywhere when I imagine some of your customers were heavily reliant on going into store?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we pride ourselves on the expertise of our store colleagues. Yeah, that's a key benefit of, you know, visiting a store. Our colleagues are all expertly trained in health and nutrition advice, and our customers really value that personal interaction. So, we were given essential retailer status. So, you know, our entire estate stayed open throughout the lockdown, bar the stores that couldn't open because they're in shopping centres. But we remained open, and the customers that really valued that part and being able to go into the stores and still, you know, get their essential items off the shelf and speak to a colleague was vital for those customers and those people with very special dietary needs. You know, obviously I've already said on the digital side, you know, we sales went, or demand went through the roof, and our ability to service that just for our normal DC operations really was overwhelmed. It was overwhelmed for a sustained period of time. So, you know, one of the biggest pieces of transformation we put in place was distributing order capacity out into the stores. And, you know, this saw real integration with the retail operations part of the business for the first time. And, you know, we had 50 of our largest stores with the biggest ranges turned into mini distribution centers. So, you know, whilst they remained open and obviously footfall decreased drastically, we were able to, you know, keep the utilization of those stores high by turning the colleagues into, you know mini fulfillment centers, if you like, by distributing the orders to them. And, you know, we can't thank the retail colleagues enough for kind of being adaptable and, you know, changing their roles during that time. It made a huge difference to the customers that could that we could then serve online by sending the orders to the stores to be shipped out. So,
am I right in thinking, Nick, that those in your stores are A-level qualified, or they have level of qualification to serve customers?
That's right. It's the equivalent of an A-level qualification. It's quite a difficult test to pass, but yeah, there's a high degree of training for all retail colleagues in stores. What we're trying to do online is you know, transform that advice into digital content so that our digital customers can see and get that level of detail. But that's incredibly hard. You know, the level of expertise that they have is very high.
And a nice example, I guess, of everyone pulling together to get through all the awful challenges that people have faced and to help people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had over 700 colleagues in that operation across all the stores at the peak, and they were delivering, you know, more than the DC were normally delivering at peak across the estate. It was a transformative piece of work for the whole business because it meant we were able to serve so much more demand than we otherwise would have been. But we also saw a lot of collaboration internally as well. You know, the teams that had to come together at the centre to pull off, you know, transformation and, you know, systems development that would have taken 18 months worth of planning and implementation, planning, writing, testing, implementation was incredible to see, really, how we did that. I think a lot of businesses have had to do similar things, but it was incredible to be part of it and see it happen.
So tell me, your title of Chief Digital Officer, which I think for some can be too broad a term and certainly opaque in other organisations as to what exactly it is you are responsible for. But we've talked about e-commerce, we've talked about serving customers everywhere and through channels, but surely much of your heartbeat is to change the way technology is used within the business and then of course how people in the organization react to being more systemized or more efficient. How has How has your brief, your transformation brief, changed or accelerated when one looks primarily through the use of technology? Have you, for example, had to invest in more technology? Have you become more efficient through testing and learning more quickly? And perhaps have you had more people's attention because people have had a bit more time to get their heads around what it is you're trying to lead as a transformation leader?
Yeah, I think that last thing that you mentioned really sticks out as something that I recognise as changing the business. Yeah, you know, we have a very clear long-term technology-driven roadmap. So there's a whole long-term systems transformation going on in the business in the background anyway. You know, we have, you know, on the digital side, I'm responsible for the digital strategy and the you know, leading the business side of those decisions and the vision, so the long-term vision. And like you said at the beginning, you know, about 9 months, a year into that kind of 5-year vision. But, you know, the business that I picked up was very much e-commerce focused. You know, it was a single channel, and the business was in a, you know, it was a very effective digital channel, had been growing really nicely over a number of years, but had kind of reached its limit in that, you know, in that particular vein. The next stage for digital at H&B was really to integrate it with the store estate and become much more omni-channel in its approach. So, you know, very clear on my 5-year map is, that integration piece with the stores, you know, activating the store estate to be more representative of our digital value proposition, putting you know, a really leading click and collect proposition in place, rather than, you know, delivering to store for customers to pick up, but also engaging, and this is critical, engaging the store colleagues in that online, you know, customer journey. So having retail colleagues advocating for digital rather than being a bit afraid of it because it hits their sales targets and they don't want to take a refund back because it goes off their end of month bonus. And, you know, we've made some huge strides with the retail ops side of our business. And this is kind of what I talked about at the beginning with the momentum that we carried in. We did a number of things that we could only have done in the office in preparation that have that we carried through, and one of them was really getting integrated with the retail ops side. So our store colleagues were already ready to think more about digital when we went into lockdown, and then when we put this, you know, delivery from store network into place, they were already engaged, and that was hugely significant.
Do you think, though, as someone with a CDO title, do you think that would have been more challenging to connect the dots through the channels, probably having not actually had accountability for retail in your brief or store in your brief?
I think it's critical that the different parts of the business are engaged. The main thing is the overall leadership believing that. Yeah, omni-channel, the direction of travel in omni-channel is critical, and not keeping them separate. And Tony was very much behind that significant internal cultural move right from the word go when I laid out the strategy. So and equally, Anthony on the retail ops side was very keen to support it as well. The whole business was keen to support it. So. We just made some very good strides before we went into lockdown, and I think that meant that when the time came for us to rely on the store colleagues, it was smoother than it might have been had we also had to do the hearts and minds piece. But I think we'll now come out of that, you know, transformed in a real sense of the word, that the colleagues will now be thinking about how critical digital is, and it'll be part of their roles going forward.
Nick, I've got two more questions for you, and one is to move the conversation, I suppose, sort of upstairs, really. You're private equity owned, and I can't remember for how long, but I think 2 or 3 years, but correct me if I have that wrong. Have your PE owners been actively involved or wanting to be more actively involved, or have they given you as an executive board the relative freedom to do what you thought was necessary through these challenging times?
Yeah, we have long-term owners, long-term investors who are seeing the opportunity for Holland & Barrett to really be at the forefront of preventative healthcare, health and well-being for customers. But you know, they're also very pro technology-driven solutions. So you know, their perspective, my view of their perspective is that they are looking 7 to 10 years out, long term. So you know, that's helpful, because it means that we're not just looking for quick wins. We're looking for genuine transformation, and we're building something of real substance for the future.
Can you give us an idea on any of the sort of the moonshots or the big aspirations that you as a health and beauty business, and no doubt you'll probably use the word platform like most people, but perhaps you will be a health and wellbeing beauty platform. But can you give us an idea of anything that, you know, the future Holland & Barrett might look like if you and your investors can achieve what you hope to achieve?
Yeah, I mean, on the digital value proposition side, you know, once we've really mastered that integration piece with the stores, there is a whole digital content ownership piece, which is really exciting as an opportunity, because you know, the surface area of our website has been limited to just the products we sell, but there's a whole raft of advice and expertise, condition-led advice that we can offer customers. So there's an exciting path into the content space, the digital content space. But we've also got really exciting ideas for the smartphone app, and improving the customer's digital connection through their smartphone, both of their physical customer journey and their digital journey through their phone. We're definitely looking more international, as well as our kind of international presences. You know, international cross-border commerce is also an opportunity. The future might branch out into more service-led parts of the proposition. So rather than just being a retailer of products, we might be able to offer customers services like anything to do with your health and well-being, really. From yoga to Reiki to fitness classes. It's all a holistic part of your health and well-being. And I think Holland & Barrett as a brand is perfectly placed to go and occupy that space in the future. So that's a really exciting roadmap that shareholders and Tony have laid out for us.
I thought you might say that actually in terms of the services, and I imagine there are some pretty obvious and interested potential strategic partnerships for you guys to work with that might be able to support some of those services, or indeed you might build them yourself. But we shall watch that space. Nick, Thomas, thank you very much for sharing your time and your insights, and appreciate you being involved. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Cheers.